Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello and welcome to episode 584 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm Nick Cooper. Joining me is Aiden Rockhartz.
Hey, how's it going?
And Colton Schwitt.
You almost brought us way into the past there.
Almost 100 episodes. 2 years.
Almost. Nick, you got to stop playing around with time magic. That's why I missed last show, is because you fucked up time zones personally.
Why did you script me to mess up the time zone, though?
That's true. I don't know why I wrote that in the script. That was really
good. Yeah, it's a little weird. A bit weird, champ. On this episode, we've got 3 new patrons, a tiny little bit of LeagueCast news and new news, and then a story for the first time in a while, and then we'll talk about the competitive league scene. We'll move into roundtable, and then we've got a whole plethora of emails that we will try to get to this week. But first, Aiden, how was your past week?
Mike, it's good. Not still a ton of League. I've started like playing a little bit of Flex every once in a while. I'm trying to play to some Decay games. Tried out this new Tom Kench build. Really fun. Want to try it out some more. Hopefully we can start playing Flex again sometime like in June. I think it's like a squad because I think it'd be fun. I want to hit GM in Flex. I get super doable.
Yeah.
I noticed that like GM and Challenger don't even have all the slots filled up for like Flex Q and NA.
Wow.
So like you literally just need to hit like the base of like 500 LP or whatever it is to hit Grandmaster.
That's interesting. So, I would have thought that Flex would have hit it before like solo queue, but maybe not.
I mean, it's just not played at all is the biggest thing. But either way, it's super easy to achieve, and I think we can do it. So I would like to try that.
Cool.
Outside of that, still playing through all the Kingdom Hearts games, played through Birth by Sleep, played through Drum Distance, and now I finished going through, I 100%ed Kingdom Hearts 2, and now I'm playing through it on critical mode to get my last trophy to actually have 100% on it. So
it's critical, like the super hard?
Yeah, it's fucked, man. I've never played on it, which is funny.
I find that so funny, because earlier today, you and I were talking in the Discord about how you don't watch anime anymore, and you kind of feel like it's like a waste of your time, because you just don't enjoy it that much. And I was going to 100% going to meme with you. It's like, yeah, but you still replay Kingdom Hearts every 6 months.
Yeah, that's not a waste of your time. It's my feel-good game of, like, I can play this game. I fucking, every cutscene will just say the words to the cutscene because I know every fucking dude. It's so funny because Kennedy's just like hanging out or whatever. I'm just playing and I'm like I just know all the fucking goofy cheesy lines.
I love it.
Oh, it's so good.
Nice.
How do you have a keyblade? Shut up. Dude, I fucking love all I know it all.
That's fine.
Anyways, I'm enjoying it though, because I'm gonna fucking finally I literally only have one trophy left and it's beating the game on critical, so I'm gonna try that. It's fucking hard, but it's fun.
When do we get the Aiden cut where we can download that mod pack and it's just you voicing every cutscene?
Yeah. Oh, dude, it's so good. Looks like my summer vacation is over.
Okay.
That's anyways. Really funny to the Kingdom Hearts players in here.
Yeah, yeah. No, oh, it's so good, man. I fucking love Kingdom Hearts 2. It might be my favorite fucking game of all time.
Wow, interesting.
It's like, it's shit in every way other than, like, mechanically, I still like it is, like, now that I'm not a child anymore, for the most part, I very much understand that the story isn't good and never was good, and most of it's pretty contrived, but holy fuck, mechanically, it still is just a really good game. Mm-hmm. But
interesting.
Anyways, that's enough of me chilling about Kingdom Hearts. I didn't really do too much else. I'm hoping to play more League this week, though. What about you, Colton?
Yeah, so I also really have not been playing much League at all. If I go to my match history here, I played one game over a week ago and then like 3 or 4 a few days before that. I've been taking a little bit of a break and focusing more on TFT, which I've just been finding to be a lot more fun, as well as just a game mode where, like, I don't have to be upset that I have, like, X player on my team or, like, X Smurf on enemy team, right? Like, if I go eighth, it's because I did something wrong. If I went first, it's because I did something right. So that feels a lot better than when you, like, lose a game because you went even in lane, but your top laner's 0-10. Currently, Diamond 2 in TFT, so hopefully Masters soon. I don't know if I'm going to push to go any higher than that. But also I've been playing a lot of Double Up with Quinn. It's kind of hilarious because, like, there's always people on and playing Double Up. Like, we never have a long queue time. But also there's only, like, 100 players at Diamond or higher in Double Up. Like, yeah. I'm like plat 2, 35 points, and I think I'm like rank 130 in Double Up.
Wow. Oh my god.
Cuz just I don't even think that it's like that nobody plays it. I think it's just that, like, you have to be playing with a person to be able to climb, I feel like, or like play it reliably, right? Like, solo flex is awful. Solo Double Up, I feel like, is even worse.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a lot of fun. So, like, I think very, very doable to hit rank 1 and 2 if Quinn and I keep playing.
Yeah. 1 and 2.
It's really just a function, I think, game. Of number of games.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
What's really funny is a friend of Quinn's also has been playing Double Up, and him and his buddy are looking to do that same thing, like hit rank 1 and 2, but they're both, like, actually good at TFT. I think they were both, like, challenger 2 or 3 sets ago in TFT. So I think they have a much higher chance of doing it, and especially, like, they'd be able to do it faster. But, like, probably like 10, 15 games, we could probably be, because I don't think there's anyone Diamond 1 even in Double Up right now.
Wow.
But I know that Quinn's, like, LP gains have started declining now that he's in Diamond. I don't know. It's a weird little microcosm of a very, like, low population queue that isn't super competitive. But, hey, it's been fun. I've been playing a lot of it. I'll probably do a TFT community night.
Hell yeah.
Sometime next week. But yeah, that's about it for my week. So I'll hand it over to you, Nick. What you been up to?
Yo. I have played, I would say, a decent amount of...
Have you played your mandatory minimum games?
I have. In fact, I've played more than that, which is nice. I think I went 6-5 over the week. So not super great, but I also don't feel like I was playing very well. So any consolation there is kind of nice. I think I'm down LP just based on my gains.
And you're at your peak, like, earlier in the week, though. So, like,
yeah, I was at 179, which is my peak, my all time peak. But yeah, so far, still doing okay. I think we talked about this, like, a little bit in the Discord, but I think, like, playing what you enjoy is way more important. And that's something that I've learned this year. So I would preach that, you know, if you're having a rough go at the game, you think, like, ranked is not treating you well, take a step back and play a little bit more for fun. And hopefully that would help.
I also think, like, I mean, the reality is, as long as you're not pushing for ranked 1, I don't think your character is usually the thing holding you back.
Yes.
And even when it is, it's not like fucking earlier season, Jamaican Banana hit rank 1 playing AP Ivern jungle. And it's like, I do think Ivern is, like, slept on for how good he is.
I agree,
I would say the vast majority of players before he hit rank 1 wouldn't have said Ivern is a character that you should be climbing for rank 1 with, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or even, like, before that, there was, like, the whole huge discussion about Riven and was it General Sniper, is that the guy's name?
Yeah.
Who was, like, it was like, oh, he's rank 1 on, like, a 47% win rate character.
Yeah, the champion, like, got buffed while he was rank 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, again, 99 out of 100 times, the character you play isn't holding you back, you know.
Unless you play Morgana.
Even
no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I think the only time that like your character is holding you back is in like an individual game sense. If like you still pick your one trick into a hard counter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, okay, if I'm Tahm Kench and like I'm gonna lock Tahm Kench even if they pick Fiora, right? Then yeah, maybe my character's holding me back, but I'm also an idiot for picking Tahm Kench into Fiora.
Mm-hmm. And the reality is like League doesn't have those 100-0 matchups.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean fucking the hardest matchup, the hard counters in the game are 55-45 matchups.
Yeah, as long as you're not playing like Sona top, right? Like like super super suboptimal. Like yeah, it's probably fine.
Like at least the most egregious ones are like close to like you have a more than a 40% chance to win, which is crazy.
Yeah, I was gonna say like maybe worst case scenario is like 60-40, and that's like the absolute worst case, you know?
Yeah.
Cool. So I guess that's it for me. Still trying to progress through God of War. It's not spoilers, right? Since it's a game from 2018, 5 years ago.
You're fine, yeah.
Boy howdy, I got the Blades of Chaos. So sick. I feel like the Leviathan Axe is cool. Don't get me wrong, but the Blades of Chaos just feel so good to use.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been rocking that, having a good time. But yeah. I think that's it for my week. So I guess we'll move on. We've got three new patrons. Shout out to X Walford, Dicaris, and Katie McAdy. Thank you for your support. Aiden, do we have any LeagueCast news?
Nothing too crazy. Nick and I are finishing up OP.G or patron reviews. So be sure to check out those. I finished like a third of mine today, or maybe like half of mine today. Other than that, community games, still doing them every Thursday night at 10 o'clock, so be sure to be tuned into that. Colton sounds like he's going to do some sort of TFT game sometime in the next like couple weeks. So
I'll probably do it 3 minutes before whenever Aiden tries to do something.
I just thought it was funny because people are sitting around classic. Like where they're waiting for me to start, because I usually like go to the bathroom and stuff while like mm-hmm. I'm getting people like into the lobby. And I come back, they're like, hey, we have 8 people. Do we just want to play TFT instead? I said, go fuck yourself. Who the fuck do you think I am?
That's funny.
But no, I said like, go talk
you
to Colton.
You played Hyperole for a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, fucking dude, they ruined Hyperole because they introduced Carousel to Hyperole. Dude, like it's not we can that's not a discussion for tonight, but fuck to Carousel, dude.
Yeah, this isn't TFT cast. That's a different
not yet.
We can hop into the show, I guess.
Yeah. Cool. Do you want to talk about the first one? The Iron Player Buys Challenger account?
Yeah, so this happened like a week ago. I saw it all over Twitter. For this Iron 4 player bought a Challenger 1,000 LP account on NA.
I wonder how much that cost.
It's probably like $500. No, that's
less than I thought.
His response was, fuck you guys, this is my account, I didn't buy
it. yeah, okay.
But then people found out that his account's Iron 4. But anyways, he buys this account. It's Iron 1000 LP, and he plays 70 games on it and wins like I think 10 of them. Not even 10 of them. I think he wins like 6 of them or something like that. Out of 70 that he plays, and in those 70 games, he goes from Challenger MMR to Silver 3 MMR. He is currently Plat 1, and he's playing in Silver 3 games as a Plat 1 player because he lost so much from Challenger.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
So I don't think people like. We mentioned this a little bit last week, I think you and I, Aiden. I don't think people understand exactly how high Challenger 1000 LP is. Like, I mean, that's the equivalent of climbing, what, 2.5 like tiers just from Masters?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Even that I don't think is a good indication of
it
is.
Even take like your average like LP gain loss into account of like let's say 22-23
mm-hmm.
The fact that you can lose like 45 games in a row and still be Masters, that's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fucked. It's interesting to see that he wins sometimes.
It's
I don't
crazy
even know if this
it's
is him.
Like if you open up the games, dude, it's fucked the games that you guys like. His last game that he won was 10 days ago. He stopped playing. I'm assuming he probably might have got banned. I wouldn't be surprised because like he's just inting every game. He had a game where he won, where he went 3-6 on Karthus, and his jungler got 15 kills and his mid laner got 15 kills.
It's really funny. You open this up. His top laner is Silver 3, jungler Silver 2. The rest of his team is Silver 3, and he's Diamond 4 at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. No. He And like, this goes to show you, like, people say, like, oh, like, I can't get to my rank in time, or, like, whatever. No, the fucking game puts you where you deserve to be pretty quick. De facto, to go from Challenger MMR to Silver 3 MMR in 70 games is crazy.
Mm-hmm. And like, also, does it suck when the system, like, doesn't catch you up quickly enough? Yeah, absolutely. But I think, like, it is important to give props to the system for putting this player, like, as low as he is, as fast as it did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I do find it hilarious that I can guarantee you at this point, like, hundreds of times over, somebody has loaded into a game with this guy, went to op.gg, yeah, or, like, or whatever happened, and he says, ah, fuck, this guy is gonna wreck us. He's a Giga Smurf.
Yeah,
why is there a Masters player in my Gold 2 lobby?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. At this point, yeah, his, like, last game, he was, like, yeah, it's like a Silver 4 lobby, and mm-hmm. this guy's sitting Platinum. They're like, oh my god, there's Platinum carry in my game.
I want so badly for this person to keep playing, because I want to see where they actually settle. Because I feel like it's probably going to be higher than, like, if they were an Iron 4 player with, like, 300 games, I feel like even, like, losing as much as they are, they would probably settle in, like, Bronze 2.
Yeah, because, like, it's very hard to gain
so much just playing against better players.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also think it's really, really hard to get Iron.
To go down to iron. Mm-hmm. I think it makes like it's pretty easy if you were a new player starting on the game and
but to go down.
You,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to continue to fall and fall.
Probably for good reason. We probably don't want that to be too easily attainable.
I mean, it shouldn't suck players in, right? Like, it should be very much like you are new to the game, you're learning, and you can hopefully get out of there.
Make it suck players down so that we don't have 3,000 LP top of Challenger anymore.
Exactly. I think all Master players should go down to Iron to reduce the ladder.
I mean, I still think Iron should be a place where you just don't lose LP, right? Like, your losses just don't count while you're in Iron. As soon as Bronze, you know, you get into Bronze, it could work that way.
Hearthstone
did that. Yeah, Hearthstone did it. I think it's a really good way to do it.
Yeah, exactly. It's literally almost a training ground, if you will.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You just learn, you play. It's cool. Other thing was, I want to talk about scripting in high yield a little bit, because I see discussions about this a lot, especially on Reddit right now, and I think there's merit to it. So there has been a lot of hackers recently, especially in high MMR lobbies, specifically the Tom Kench hacks that you've been seeing, where, like, you can globally teleport with his W. It can be also done on Rizar. It's done mostly on Tom Kench, because his, obviously, you can level at level 1. And then there's the Wardstone glitch, where you can get two Vigil Wardstones and then sell and refund one of them and get infinite money. So as soon as you hit level 13, you can get infinite money. And then there's a ton of other scripts with, like, various other things, like classic dodge scripts and stuff like that that we're seeing a lot of. And when I say a lot of, I mean a lot more than League of Legends has ever had, which still isn't a lot. I feel like we've talked about this a ton on the show, where League is pretty fucking good. Like, I don't know. I've seen maybe, like, 2 or 3 scripters in my 13 years playing. Colton said, I think, has seen, like, a fair bit more, but not, like, a ton. I think mostly a lot of yours, Colton, was from, like, older, like, solo queue as well.
You know, definitely I saw more back in the day. And again, this was, I think, when I was playing at a higher level in terms of, like, percentage of the player base, where I think that, like, there are people who are good at the game that script and, like, do it well, where it's like I'm controlling my character 95% of the time, but, like, crazy team fight happens, maybe I turn on my dodge script, and, like, those are a lot harder to catch. As well as, like, those players are basically the rank that they are, you know, maybe, like, I'll put an asterisk or, like, minus 100 LP, but, like, if you're not obviously scripting, it's because you're playing at that level 99% of the time.
Yeah, you'll see VODs of, like, and I'm not trying to defend scripters, but, like, you'll see VODs where, like, sometimes there are just scripters who are just fucking blowing. It's pretty obvious like, they run their character into melee range, like, on AD carries and only live because they're dodging shit. Sorry if you can hear that car fucking so loud.
That's fine.
And then you see actually good players where, yeah, they turn them on at key moments and they're still mechanically overall a really good player. Like I've seen, like the last time I saw Scriptor was like season 7, I want to say. And it was this Vayne who all game she played not scripting anything, or at least not obviously. And then she had one team fight that we were losing that she fucking very obviously like flipped a switch and dude, she fucking frame perfect dodged like 8 things in a row. And it's like, that player is a really good player, like was a high diamond player that is probably slightly inflated because they script. And I'm not here to defend scripters, but like people do use them well at that level.
Yeah. And I think that that's like the other thing is that most people who are scripting obviously get caught and banned quickly. So they're not really a problem and like they're not common, right? Like if it's a bronze player who just has like Cassiopeia scripts running permanently, that person probably plays like 30, 40, 50 games and gets banned. It's the person who's like a D1 Ezreal player who scripts 10% of the time. And it's like, okay, are they actually dodging all of those skill shots and hitting every Q, or did they turn it on? Like, it's hard to tell, right? And that's the thing that most people's like, the sample size to determine if somebody is scripting matters so much, right? Like, they might just be playing really well that team fight. They might have gotten lucky. Like, it's really, really hard to be able to tell confidently that someone's scripting. In my case, at least, like, I know of at least 3 players who I played with for a time and found out later that they were scripting. Mm-hmm. And I was always like, damn, they're really good at dodging things. Like, and I had heard other people call them, like, say they're scripting. It's like, it's tough to fucking tell.
Yeah, for sure. Sorry, go ahead, Nick.
I just want to say, if you're listening to this, you probably just have not played with the scripter. I think like you guys are saying that like there are people who turn them on like sometimes and things like that, but I think it's just so rare that like this is not affecting you. The person who like dodged your skill shot just dodged the skill shot, you know?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So
like I 100%. I've seen less than 20 accounts scripting in my 10,000 games of League of Legends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. My whole point of this was that so we have been seeing a lot more of these at higher elo, more blatant ones of the classic like Pyke Smite group and stuff, of doing the Tahm Kench abuse, doing the Wardstone bug, doing all these things where it feels weird because this hasn't been a thing forever. We've seen the fucking, you can now cool down, you can import scripts to overflow your runes, so you can do the fucking classic like season 1 video with the Uruk where he flashes around the like base like 100 times, where you can do that with redemptions. You can buy redemption, just use it a million times a second as like a global fucking nuke. And it's like, it's just so weird because it feels like this is all probably stemming from when Riot source code got leaked. Is my guess. It feels, maybe it's just a coincidence, but like it feels like this has been a thing and Riot weirdly hasn't addressed it at all. And once again, I don't think it's like, oh my god, every second lobby you get into in high elo solo queue is this issue, but it's like you see streamers like complaining about it enough that it's probably like 1 in 50, 1 in 100 games, which is a lot. Mm-hmm. Especially at high elo where these people, there's these Tahm Kenches that, dude, they do it every single fucking game. Like level 1 they just W top lane. And they've done it like 70 games in a row and they've gone up like 500 LP and just like, that's crazy that they haven't been banned, right? Like that seems wild that not only have they not been banned, they haven't been punished. Riot hasn't said anything about it. And like, it seems like they're making no action. The Wardstone glitch was a thing even before I saw the Tahm Kench exploit where you can like sell your Wardstone and get infinite money. And they disabled Wardstone for, I don't know, a day and then re-enabled it. The bug was still in the game. The Tahm Kench thing, they disabled Tahm Kench for a day. They re-enabled it. The bug's still in the game and they just haven't said anything. It's so weird.
Yeah, that's to me, like the response from Riot has definitely been lacking. Like it hasn't been fixed. It's not like temporarily disabled. And there, as far as what I've seen, hasn't been commentary even of like, we know this is happening. We're looking into it. A lot of these players are doing this stuff like multiple games, every game, like, you know, they've done it at this point 50, 60 times. Like the fact that these accounts are still not banned is wild to me. And like, I would like to hear your guys' thoughts on like appropriate punish for this. But like, honestly, to me, like this is instant IP permaban. Like,
oh yeah, for sure. Like,
right, like
I think there's a difference between like small bug abuse, like, I don't even have a good example.
Well, like the Karthus, like buy items refund thing, where
yeah.
Even that, I would say there's like no punishment because like that is just a known weird interaction with like the refund system, which I think should be removed. But like that I think is like the far other side of the spectrum of like, this is exploiting something in the game that gives you a power advantage.
It's way more vague if it's intended or not, right? Like, not intended, but like, for like, there's tons of like animation cancels that in theory could just be like an exploit, right? And it gets into this like weird gray area where this is very much. I mean, the Tom Kench one, for example, is you're uploading a script into the game to overload the things, right? Like, you literally are uploading like hacks to your fucking game.
Like this is game ruining versus something that I don't know, gives you a small competitive advantage or something like that.
So I just think it's very strange they haven't said anything. It feels like they don't know how this is happening, or else there would be probably some level of like things said. Like, the reality is Tom Kent should probably be disabled until they can figure it out. Wardstone should probably be disabled until they can figure it out.
I almost feel like if like it, not to be a little Riot simp and protect them, right? I almost feel like if this is intentional to not like draw a ton of attention to it. I mean, if you're not like plugged into that Twitter.
Yeah. League Twitter. Yeah.
Or paying attention to like high elo streamers, I can imagine you probably go through this not knowing at all, you know, that this is happening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's a huge amount of the player base who doesn't know this exists and won't know until after it's fixed.
Yeah. So, and not to say like, this is the right way to handle it. Like, they shouldn't draw attention to it or whatever. But like, I wonder if that's the reason.
Yeah. Cool. I guess one thing that would be, I think a good response that I you know, again, I'm have no influence over, but like, if I was at Riot Games making the decisions, and like, I would probably just disable those characters and items that are broken. But like, if you're not going to do that, I would probably like, set up a specialized like ticket type so that when you report these people, it goes directly to like an internal team to review, right? Where it's like, hey, I believe that X character is, you know, exploiting the Wardstone bug.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like X summoner name. Cause like one that gives them a much better data set to review and hopefully identify the fix, but then also those players get punished more quickly.
Well, I also feel like this should be something that's pretty easy to, I don't know, see, you know,
identify,
like, hey, this on average, Tom Kench is on in whatever role, whatever lane, whatever, are using W, I don't know, 200 times a game. Hey, in these games, he's casting it 300, like 500, like 3000, you know, there has to be some way to like, oh, this person is using Redemption 600 times in one 30 minute match. You know, why I feel like this should just be like an automatic flag, you know?
Yeah. Those, again, I don't know how their
I don't either
database works, but I would imagine those things would be like findable. Yeah. I think especially like number of activations of like Redemption or even just like, you know, Redemption damage numbers, Redemption healing numbers, right? Where you're like, show me the top 5th percentile. Mm-hmm. Oh, look, this person dealt 14,000 damage with Redemption in a 25-minute game. I wonder what happened there.
Yeah. Oh, they cast it 1,000 times in ten minutes. Like, oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Cool. This is not you know, an acceptable level. So I don't know. It's weird. Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Do we want to move into the Starry?
Go ahead.
I was going to mention, and I don't know if you put it in competitive. Oh, you did put it in the competitive league section. So we'll talk about it then. About the EG stuff.
Cool. Awesome. Colton, you want to tell us about the Starry?
Yeah. Hey, we got a 5-star review. We like it when our listeners do that. So we read them all on the show in a section called the 5-star-y section. Get it? Because 5 stars and re's in the name. So, hey, thank you, Brad, for sending this review. And thank you to all of our listeners who didn't know about this and are going to send us a 5-star review after the show.
For sure.
But Brad's thing says, finally found somewhere to leave a review. Best anime review podcast. Sometimes they talk about video games. Rare occasion, they talk about some League of Legends game. Overall, really great. Hosts are really entertaining. Great chemistry. 5 out of 5 star-shaped fox girls.
Wow, thanks, Brad.
I find it funny because we've gotten, I think, a few reviews like this, and there's I feel like 100% chance that somebody has seen that and been like, oh, they don't actually talk about League on this League of Legends podcast.
Maybe. But also, I can't remember the last time we talked about anime.
Also, yeah. Yeah, it must have been JoJo. This is from December, but I also never grabbed it because it was from it was on Audible.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, I knew that you could leave reviews on Audible. So,
yeah, the next person to leave a 5-star review, also including your review, how you were able to do it, so that we can start telling people where they can do
it. Yeah, I don't understand it either.
But thank you, Brad, for the 5-star review, and to everyone who's ever sent us a 5-star review. And on to the next.
If you haven't, fuck you.
Yeah, if you've listened to more than one episode and didn't leave a 5-star review, I'm giving you a 0-star review.
Bad person.
Personally, I'll send it to you in the mail.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. Let's talk about competitive League. So we had the LEC playoffs where the worst has happened. Mad Lion and G2 are going to MSI. Sorry, that's a worst case scenario. Not the way that we thought. So Mad Lions ended up beating G2, and then I don't remember who they played after that. But it doesn't matter. Mad Lions won all the way to Grand Finals where they played BDS. The winner would go to MSI. The loser would stay home, and G2 is going on points, right? It's going to be G2 Mad Lions. Yeah, I mean, I think this is a really good example of why, like, points aren't a very good system.
Neither of them going off of points.
Is G2 not going off of points?
No, they're going off of the fact that they won winter.
I see. Gotcha.
But either way, it is funny because, like, we still are sending the team that finished fourth. You know what I mean? I don't think anyone's upset sending G2 because I think most people are very aware
people
that
like G2,
G2
yeah.
can. I mean, and they also are a team that historically can show up and do really well internationally regardless. Yeah. But
unless CLG's there.
Still, you could have a team. G2 still could have won winter and then got in. Got last in the second next split, right? They could have got first then 10th, and then that would have been an issue. That would have been like, fuck, are we sending our 10th team to MSI? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't think there's any issue. Just like we thought, fucking Mad and G2 were going. It's funny because we were talking last week about how we were expecting G2 to win, then Mad to go because G2 won. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no points. Like, shenanigans here. Just like, the system still is not perfect, but it's mostly due to the fact that it's very rumored that we're going to get a third international tournament next year, and EU having 3 splits will obviously have 3 tournaments that you're qualifying for, so it won't actually have these weird shenanigans next year. So I don't think it's really an issue that they need to fix. It's just having weird situations like this could lead to bad, weird turnouts for international events.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think ideally, right, everyone is always like, when there is an international event, you want it to be as competitive and evenly matched as possible because mm-hmm. those lead to the most entertaining games. Mm-hmm. And so whenever there are systems in play that like either made it, so let's say a 10th place team went to this event or could, that definitely is time to like take a look at that system and at least ask the question, like, does this need to be adjusted?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, let's talk about Evil Geniuses, huh?
Yeah.
So I hadn't had a chance to look at it yet. What happened?
Well, it's just so they put out a weird statement. Let me pull up the weird statement. Let's start with that. Either way, the gist of it is they are probably dropping most of their roster. So they put out a statement on I think it was Friday, where. Oh, God, they tweet so much, dude. Holy shit. It's actually crazy. Mm-hmm. It's the worst fucking statement I've ever seen, though. Oh, here it is. Evil Geniuses takes great pride in our commitment and to competitive performance and talent development. After the outcome of our 2023 spring split season, we will be making roster changes that fully align with this commitment. We are looking forward to share updates as we look forward to building our team and preparing for summer split. That's all they say.
What a bunch of... absolutely nothing.
That's really weird. And then we immediately get like the roster like leak rumors, and they are dropping every player other than JoJo and considering dropping JoJo. Wow. And they've already dropped their coach today. And the rumor is that they're going full budget roster and like kind of just dropping everything.
So just kind of giving up on LCS, huh?
Yeah, they're not putting money into it, is the rumor. Once again, who knows? It could be wrong. I do trust the people who have like leaked these things so far. But it sounds like, yeah, they're just dropping their entire fucking roster, which is crazy.
Yeah, business that's wild. Decisions. And then alongside that, or at least pretty recently, I didn't remember the date on the article, but Richard Lewis put an article out about the behind-the-scenes happenings at EG. A first of many articles, it seems like. I don't know if there's a scope yet, but the behind the scenes there also seems very wonky and aligns with this very like nothing corporate tweet about, hey, we're really committed to competitive integrity, so we're going to fire all of our good players and buy a budget roster so we can go eighth.
Well, what makes me laugh is like, we're committed to building a roster that matches our like view. Like that's what roster building is, right? Like you're not going to put together a roster that like, wow, we really want a strong mid laner. I don't know, man. Let's go look at master for that player. Like, it's just so weird. What a weird way to say nothing.
Yeah, I forget. In the Richard Lewis article, he talked about something they did. I forget what game it was. It might have been Counter-Strike. I think it was some shooter game where like they like I think cleared their roster, didn't have a roster, but they basically just like picked 15 people from like the equivalent of like middle low masters and were like, we're going to find our five next players from this group, apparently.
Yeah.
And like, you know, they wanted to make it like a big thing where it's like, look at us developing and finding talent. And it's like, I think Richard Lewis called it like the throwing shit against the wall and seeing what sticks method, right? Where it's just like, I guess that's how you could do it, is you could just, you know, you could just message 100 people in like the 200 to 300 LP band to try and find your new roster, or you could actually have like scouts or qualities coaching staff to find good players.
Yeah, that's wild. Huh, truly living evil.
Yeah, it's strange. And Richard Lewis also put out like a article, the first part of one part of a two-part thing on EG. I'd recommend reading it. It's out on his Substack. I'd recommend reading that. The second part should come out sometime next week. It's pretty good. It's definitely very damning that like that they have lots of management issues. Not lots of good things. So,
I see. Mm-hmm. And as usual, I would say like for the casual viewer, like it is not the players that are the problem 9 out of 10 times with these organizations. Yeah. Probably 99 out of 100. Right? It's like, EG bad does not mean JoJo bad.
Yeah.
It means that like the person sitting in the chair in his boss's office, you know, like a lot of people, I think, you know, have a disconnect there where it's like, well, I'm a fan of Evil Genius. I like JoJo. And it's like, that doesn't mean it's a good company.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad. Hopefully like they get their shit together. It just sounds like they have some weird management with the whole like company buying them up and stuff. Mm-hmm. So hopefully everything goes well.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then MSI is starting soon. So the schedule will be play-in stage May 2nd to 7th, bracket stage May 9th to 14th, and then 16th to 20th, and then grand finals will be May 21st. And then, Aiden, you were mentioning it starts at, what, 8 a.m. Eastern time?
8 a.m. Eastern, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I'm excited. So someone who works from home, it's going to be fun. Yeah, for people who don't work from home, it's not very much fun. But that's all right.
Cool. Awesome. I guess that's it. So let's jump into the roundtable question.
Cool. Last week's question was, share your knowledge, tips or tricks for your main or another tidbit of knowledge that can be useful. Colton, do you have any tips or tricks for your main or just random knowledge?
I can drop a little bit of random knowledge. I mean, in terms of like some characters that I've played a lot of, you know, the first thing I would say is like zillion Q will automatically like latch onto a target when they come out of stasis or like a revive or something. So if you're playing zillion and they put like double bomb down, like on top of, let's say, somebody in an hourglass, it's going to instantly apply those and they can't like flash out of it. Please don't walk onto those double bombs to get into melee range, because then that won't happen and they will escape. So please don't lose your team the game that way.
There's like a whole like priority system too, right?
Yeah. So it'll prioritize enemy champions, then allied champions, then like enemy units and allied units. Right, because you can like put it on a minion and stuff.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say for Zillion is that his passive only works if he's putting you over the top to like a new level. So if you're at like 90 XP and you need to get to 100 XP, he will give you 10 XP even if he has like 200 stored.
Oh, interesting.
And he can't just like give you 100 XP if you're, let's say, 150 away from your level up. Not common that it really matters, but there have definitely been games where I'm like sitting with 700 XP stored, like pinging all of my teammates, like, please let me give one of you guys like half of a full level. That's so much gold worth of stats that you're going to get if any of you would just tell me and like ping your experience bar. The only other one I would say, this is for MF, is that like your Q bounce, like, calculates when the first Q actually hits the minion. Like if you move to the left or right, you can kind of aim it a little bit, or if something displaces the minion, that can also affect it. If an Alistar bops the minion into them, you can extend the range, or if you like walk or flash to the side, you can make it turn a little bit.
That's really cool. I didn't know you could flash to redirect it.
Yeah, it's weird. I wouldn't really ever see a situation where that is worth doing, but more so the like walking left or right is what I would do to like make it more likely to hit the person you're trying to.
Yeah, cool. Awesome.
And then a general one. I'm giving you three.
Oh my gosh.
Support quests. They are not unique. You can fully proc multiple support quests in a game. 99 out of 100 times, this is a bad idea. But like, you could proc a full Spell Thief's, sell it, and then get like the Spectral Sickle and get another 1,000 gold from that support quest.
So, I want to clarify: if you sell the same support item,
yeah, you can't sell the same one and buy it back.
Yeah, well, you can, right?
And well, you can buy it back and it'll be still. fully.
But if you sell like the AP harass item and you buy the AD harass item, that will you'll start a new quest and start from zero.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I think that's a very important distinction to make.
Yeah. So those awesome. Are my silly tips and tricks.
Cool. Some from our community. One from our Twitter, from Nas Ezro, says, I'm not sure if he appreciates it's promo, but maybe in the podcast format, feel free to ignore. He says, I have 25 shorter champion tip videos on my YouTube channel. It's mostly about optimal skill usage and combos. Here's my Illaoi video. And it's a really good video. It like, kind of breaks through like cool. What you can do with Illaoi. He says, in text format, you can use Illaoi W to jump over small walls. Most useful is probably at Grump. You can easily get two. If it's perfect, three tentacles on the Drake/Baron pit for easy objectives. And while you're in your R animation, you're immune to CC for a short time, so you can use that for Yas and Vi-R. It's really, really good. He has a bunch of those videos. Cool. From our Discord, Pards Bay said you can cast Gragas R while you're in E, so you R while you E flash, and you can guarantee the knockback into your team before the enemy can even flash out of it. Wallace said, giving the optimal leash on Shen involves using your Q at 117 to get your passive shield, then again at 125 as soon as it's back up for three empowered autos, then again at 133 for another three empowered autos, and you have your shield at 133 to block an auto from the camp. So in total, you can give your jungler six empowered autos and a blocked attack from the camp.
117 to get your shield?
The shield. You're procking it early. Yeah. So that you can, when you, so you don't proc it at 125.
Yeah.
So you can pre-proc your autos, but still then actually proc shield.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I see.
Which that is super niche, but that's exactly what we were looking for.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, like I don't think I do that exact one, but I have another setup that I do where I like do five autos, and block one auto, thing at like red buff for my jungler. Dude, Chen gives the fattest leashes if you do that. Dude, five empowered autos on grow up is crazy.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Cool. And then last but not least, I got one from Arctic who says, a little Ornn tip in/before team fights. Think of your Q as less of a damage tool as for Ornn, and more often as a way to set up your E in a spot where you'll have more impact. People don't often pay super close attention to where the pillar went up, especially if there's a ton of other abilities flying. So you can get tons of surprise knockups on multiple enemies with a little planning. Bonus points if you combo this with your R. Yeah, I feel like, I mean, I obviously understand this, but like, I feel like a lot of people, including myself, fall into the trap of like, you're always just trying to use Ornn Q at the enemy just directly a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hope it's a good spot. Whereas like, you can literally just only position yourself that is going to be a good spot when the fight happens. And that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting tool. Dude, how good would Ornn Q be if you could cast it any range? Like obviously within the circle, like you could cast it like short.
Short. Yeah. It'd be really good.
It'd be really, really good. Mm-hmm. Cool. This week's Groundhog question is, what
do
you thankful for?
Do you
want
to read the ones for Yasuo? That's also
here. No, I just pulled like a bunch. I was just screenshotting random stuff. This week's roundtable question is, what are you thankful for in League of Legends?
I'm thankful that it's been a pretty well-balanced season so far. I don't think we've had like too many blatantly like just broken things yet. I'll say yet. How about you guys?
I'm thankful for Nick Cooper and Aiden Rockarts because they play the game with me. And
you're
I don't
thankful
know if
that you don't have to play.
But yeah, I mean, like having people to play the game with is always definitely a big bonus. Yeah. I would also say like just like the existence of ARAM and custom game modes. Again, I know a lot of us wish that there were more and that they came out more often, but like the fact that there's not just ranked solo queue is huge. Like if the game was just like you can queue up for ranked solo queue or blind normal, no ARAM, no flex, no like nothing else, like I feel like the game would not exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, as much as those systems could be a lot better, the fact that they are even there at all is nice.
Cool,
for sure. Mine is just like overall, I think League is still a very good game, and I think Riot, although they haven't been very communicative in the past, I think them putting out those like monthly dev blogs and stuff like that has been really, really great, and I feel like I have a very positive outlook on the future of the game.
Awesome. Yeah, Colton, I've been waiting for some Nexus Blitz. It's been too long.
Hell yeah, we're gonna hit rank 1 and 2 on Nexus Blitz.
Hell yeah, obviously I'll be rank 1.
Yeah, of course, you're a better League of Legends player than me. That's why you have more LP than me.
For now. Cool. Let's. I guess we'll move into mail fight. The first one's from Jin. Hey, this is the first email I've sent, but I love talking about my main too much to resist. Do you think, obviously this person means first to our podcast, but do you think anyone has ever sent LeagueCast their very first email ever?
Just got a computer.
You know, I
just got an email.
I almost want to say I feel like we might have gotten that in a roundabout way when we got the email from like the mom of that younger listener.
Maybe
we're like, I don't think that kid probably had ever sent an email in his life, and even though he didn't send that one, it was like, you know,
fair enough
that's probably the closest we've ever been.
Hey, if you've ever sent an email before, send us one.
So they say, I used to play a lot more League, but stopped after a few years after going abroad and only recently started again. But before quitting, I had 500,000 mastery on Janna. Some of these tips are obvious, but I wanted to share anyways. If you're trying to disengage, aim the tornado in the direction you're running. Keep your tornado or ult up to interrupt certain champions. Lee Sin, Leona, Katarina, Yone, etc. There's nothing more satisfying than ruining their engage with a single Q and forcing them to walk away in shame.
As far as I know, Monsoon Knockback follows Flash rules regarding walls, so depending on which wall, it'll result in either a mini stun or push them over a wall. Shielding turrets is mostly useless and feels bad, so don't do it. Learn which side someone will appear on when using teleport, so you can start charging a tornado. And that's about it. Again, sorry if some of these are common sense, but it's hard to judge what other people know about your main. Thanks, Jen. I think those are some good tips.
Those are awesome.
Yeah.
Next email is from Christian, who says, "Hey, Leaguecast crew, I was listening to your podcast while you spoke of proximity queue and it not being coincidence. This reminded me of my freshman year of college when I was trying full AD attack speed TF jungle, totally running it down and being flamed by a mid Lux on my team who was incredibly toxic. A few days later, I'm hanging out with a new friend one hallway down and he's playing League, which I didn't know he played. He says he mains Lux, and I noticed his username, which seemed very familiar. I asked him if he recently played with an attack speed TF jungle, which he replied something very negative, and I went to my match history to find out it was actually him. We both laughed and he called me dog at League. I figured you may find this interesting. Thanks for the podcast and entertainment you all provide, Christian."
That's so funny. I feel like it had to be like proximity based to some extent.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine at the very least, like, it's trying to match players with similar pings to some degree. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's an option, right, where it's like if there's 100 players all at the exact same MMR, it might group them by ping at some level.
That makes sense, yeah.
It's also very much, I think, just like a coincidence that if you play enough, you're going to run into people, like, you know, randomly running into a Leaguecast listener, you know, has happened to me several times. And, you know, of the millions of people playing League of Legends, a few thousand listen to Leaguecast. Of that, I don't know how many would recognize my username in a ranked game.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Cool.
But yeah.
Thanks, Christian. Next email is from Sam. "Hey, Legends. Love the content in the chat every week. Listening in from Canberra, Australia. I've been playing League since Season 2, and it's so interesting hearing different takes on the game. I've mained Ashe and Zoe since release, and I feel like I know a fair bit about them. One thing many people don't know is that Zoe bubble range can be increased by casting it at the last second of your ult portal jump. This has caught out countless people who shortly after see a gray screen. Zoe's damage is not busted. Fun fact, I now have a 2-year-old daughter called Zoe, and my fiance's name is Ash. This is all unintentional. Keep up the good work, Sam." I seriously doubt that, is what I have to say. but yeah, that's awesome.
Next email is from Carl. "Hey guys, love the show. Been listening for a couple years now. I've recently taken a 4-month break from the game as my PC was out of action. I'd been filling the void by playing Wild Rift, but after returning, I feel overwhelmed and lost with what's strong and what's fun to play. Any suggestions on what to try to pick to get myself back into the swing of things? I'm a Rengar main, but enjoy playing pretty much anything in any role. Many thanks, Carl." I mean, Rengar is super good right now, and if you're a Rengar main, I would definitely keep playing him. If you're not enjoying him and want to find what else is good, there's tons of websites that show like aggregate win rates for characters over whatever elo you might be in. I don't know. If you're looking for what's fun for you, that's a really difficult question to know without being you.
Yeah, it is. We have a listener, Large Dad, who's gone on an absolute tear recently on Rengar. The dude is going absolutely crazy. So yeah, Rengar's pretty strong right now. I feel like I want to say that Kha'Zix plays like kind of similarly, which is weird because they're a little bit of they're rivals, you know. And maybe I'm you know, just kind of wanting that to be the case, but
I mean, they are relatively similar, right? Like, they're AD assassins that
try to seek out isolated
on just getting the jump on you. Obviously there's a lot of similarities, a lot of differences. You know, some people might call them the exact same character, some people might say the same thing about like Sona and Seraphine, or about like what were the ridiculous examples
Vayne and Malzahar.
Vayne and Malzahar, same exact character, yeah. Basically.
Cool. Thanks, yeah. Carl. Next email is from Tentacles. Dear Lee Cast, my name is Tentacles. As you know, I'm a bit of a winger. I wing? Winger? What does that mean? I don't know. I'm a huge fan of the podcast, and I listen to it while I'm commuting or I'm at the office because I find it passes the day faster and allows me to focus on my passion and try to improve on League while not even playing. I found that by improving my mentality towards the game, it helped me improve and my results showed quickly. However, you are all aware that I am desperately trying to improve and climb to Diamond using my OTP Alawi. I think my primary issue is that despite winning a large number of games, it is hard to climb because of my MMR, and the gains and losses in LP are extremely hard to manage, and maintaining a positive mental attitude is hard when you gain plus 16 to 20 and lose between 27 and 30. What's the best way of overcoming my frustrations at gains and losses and just trying to focus on improving and separating these goals? Secondly, one of the problems with the champion I love is that she has always been a pretty trash champ and therefore very niche. This means that despite recent popularity, people don't know how to play with her. They assume Alawi is OP and therefore I should always have pressure in prio. This is not true. Early, it's impossible to roam. I'm very weak pre-6 and my jungler doesn't respect my wave state, etc. as I often give over the early push to choose to freeze. How do I communicate to the jungler that they won't have help on top scuttle? This carries over to the other two issues, like my two item spike being very strong in 1v2 situations, but at one item, even when I'm ahead, doesn't mean I can teamfight or skirmish effectively, especially without tentacle setup. How do I communicate that without tilting people and keeping the jungler on my side? Thanks, hope you have an amazing day, Tentacles. So first up, I think like, so we all have like, individually seen his OPGG and how like I'll say dire it is. He's winning a ton of games. He has really bad gains, but he also has a ton of games played, so the system like should have fixed by now and, you know, corrected and put him, I don't know, in the spot that he's supposed to be at. However, it hasn't, so I'm gonna probably say just try your best to not pay attention to like your gains and losses and just sort of like play the game. It's really easy to say, but I think like just skipping through the post game screen, not paying attention to the LP gains after the games, just kind of like moving into the next one or moving on to your break or whatever you plan to do next is like going to be the best way to do it. I don't think there's like an easy fix for your situation, and you definitely deserve to be higher elo than you are from an outside perspective. So Aiden, and any
yeah, I mean, like, you just have to play the game. The reality is like you're not fixing the game points wise, and for your character, like, I mean, I think Lowy's like still not bad, man. Like,
I'm gonna she
plays a weird way, but like I don't think it actually is that.
I'm gonna say
crazy.
Two words: PowerPoint. I think
don't stop doing PowerPoint.
I think if
people
you,
only make fun of you for it,
people only make fun of you for it. But if you want to communicate this to people in a way that's like really that they're gonna laugh at, they're gonna like get a brief rundown of your character. You
it's
know,
not like he's
like,
playing fucking Bard Top. He's playing a Lowy man who's been in the game since like 2012.
Clearly, people don't know how to play with in his games. So I'm saying make a little PowerPoint.
Who
say,
has a higher play rate? Tom Kencher, Lowy top. Let's play this game.
I mean, Alawi. It's Alawi.
Alawi's 4.5% and Tom Kench's 1.6. So Alawi's played 3.5 times more
yes,
than Tom
I'm
Kench.
Not, I'm not saying that's not the case. All
I
I'm
just
saying
think that,
is that
he doesn't need a fucking PowerPoint. Everyone knows Alawi's.
His question, I am providing an answer to. If you want someone to play around your Alawi in the way that you want to, give him a PowerPoint and tell him what you plan on doing. Okay,
I'll let you know when people post PowerPoints. I then post the PowerPoint in other game lobbies.
Yeah, it's
pretending.
It's very funny. We will laugh.
I still
at you.
Post this new one from. Like, but yeah, your character's so funny, popular. Yeah. And people know what it does. People just don't want to play around it because it's not fun to play around. It's like the reality. Alawi is very much she has to play her style and no one else can interrupt my style. And it turns out in a 10-player video game, people don't want to play around that way.
Yeah.
I also don't think she's bad. You're obviously good enough at the game that you're going to hit diamond if you keep playing. But it's definitely not your character, and you just need to keep at it, I think.
Yeah. Good luck, buddy.
Cool.
Aiden, you're going to read the next one?
Yeah, it's from Joby, who says, "Hey, Leadcast gang, Joby here. It's been a minute since I last emailed, and I wanted to talk about a couple things. First, an explanation why I role-swapped top lane. A few weeks ago, on UGG reviews came out, one of my notes was, I had a random role-swap, I think I said that." Well, it wasn't random.
Maybe it was me.
I constantly talk about build role-swaps.
Same.
One of my notes was that I had a random role swap. Well, it wasn't random. I just really found myself falling out of love with mid lane, and I found it more fun to being a stupid one OP 1v1 top lane. Was this written by you?
Maybe.
They can just run over the game, no matter how far lost they are. Also, I love the top lane experience, which brings me to my next point. My collegiate LOL experience. Going into the year, I had 9 people that signed up when I went into the team, signed up as a mid laner, but they didn't have a top. So I went into that. It was my secondary, so I had some experience, but not as much as mid at the time. Due to there being 9 people, I ended up playing top lane both A and B teams. Holy shit. The B team was mostly bronze and silver players, and the A team was platinum diamond. Holy shit. Mm. Me being a gold had to really step up in order to contribute to the team. Overall, we did fairly average, with some people graduating, some people dropping out. We were unable to have any teams following semester. Aww. However, during my time playing, I learned a lot about a coordinated macro, optimal drafting, and just overall mechanics from players who are better than me. I would recommend to give it a try if their colleges have the opportunity. Sorry, not sorry for the length of the email. Thank you for all you do. Thanks, Joby. Yeah, and also PS, future community nights. I've already talked about this, but yeah, I'm planning on doing one like June tournament type thing, is June or July. So
nice.
Yeah, I think one really good thing that gets brought up here is that, like, when the op.gg review happens, you have no idea why they swapped, right? So it's like what you might have flagged as like random role swap. Yeah, we don't know the context. When those comments happen, so always a grain of salt there. But thanks for the email, Joby. Do you want me to grab this one from Large Dad, Nick?
Sure. Wait, no.
You want to
wait, yes. Wait, yes.
Okay. Evening, gents. Been on that ranked grind this last week, and I've been popping off. Climbed from plat 4, 30 LP to plat 2, 71 LP. In a mere 2 days, I think I've gone 18-5. Unfortunately, now I'm only getting plus 29 for wins and minus 29 for losses. So rip, never having to deal with painful gains. But without further ado, it's joke time. What do you call a virgin from Alabama? An orphan.
Okay.
Thanks, Large Dad.
All right. That's cool. yeah, he's been crushing it. He's been tearing it up.
18-5 is a good afternoon.
Yeah.
For the people like me who play 23 a day sometimes.
Awesome. Keep it up, Large Dad. Next one is from Caleb, a.k.a. Milkman. Hey, LeagueCast, it's Caleb, a.k.a. Milkman. I'm mailing in with a question today about one tricks and their builds. You guys have talked a bit about utilizing one tricks as a source to learn and develop your mastery on a champion from. I main Viego, as I have said in multiple emails before, but I feel a touch out of place with this advice on one tricks. The most loud one that the Viego mains usually point to that speaks English is LOL Electro, who plays this very assassin-y Viego playstyle with Kraken Slayer. In my own time trying builds, I have attempted to play like this, and it turns the champion into something I can't play. I started playing Viego the way Pro Play did, with Divine Sunder into Bork being the meta, even into Worlds last year on Viego, despite the ridicule of every pro by the Viego mains community. I learned the champion with this more burst fighter, health resetting style champion, and my identity as a former Vi main before Viego's release was that of a tank fighter with on-hit damage. I understand a lot has changed in the meta, and I recognize I am Gold 3, and the one trick mentioned is Masters, but I do not identify with this assassin playstyle at all, and actually value the fact that Viego is one of the only reset champs that can get his reset on assists and not just kills. I guess the first question with this is, should I ignore the one tricks and the narrative spread by Viego community because I have been climbing, doing my own thing with my own playstyle? And then my second question with this is, how does the conflict with pro play and community of mains end up resolving in this situation? While others recognize that they can have a playstyle that plays off of getting assists by bursting damage and weaving through fights, or do you think that League players tend to look for the stat check narrative over building to complement your playstyle? I would apologize for the length of this email, but this is actually a shorter one for me. So have a great week, PogChamps. Milkman. First question, if you're finding success, don't move away from it. There's no reason for you to do Absolutely. Anything differently. Yeah. Second question, will there be a chance that people recognize different play styles? I think specifically with Viego, yes. I think the vast majority of people have seen Viego with Sunderer and are more accepting of it. But with that in mind, the League community as a whole, I think, has a difficulty adjusting to changes and to seeing things that are different from the norm. But I don't think that's the case with Viego. I think you're fine.
Yeah. Some other things I would mention, I think definitely building, you know, a character to your play style works and is totally fine to do. You know, we've seen this historically with like Shens who go like Locket Redemption and play a super supportive, mm-hmm. you know, facilitator role. We've seen this with, you know, even like the way I played MF last season, where it was like nobody was playing like First Strike Lethality MF. If it works for your playstyle and is working, I would definitely play it. I think there's always going to be a disconnect a little bit between solo queue and like by the nature of solo queue one tricks with the pro play, where it's like individual champion mastery is probably going to be lesser for LCS players because they don't have the time to play 100 games of Viego a week when they have to practice, you know, 10 on Gragas, 10 on Lee Sin, 10 on Wukong, for mm-hmm. example.
Yeah.
As well as I think a lot of the one tricks are picking the optimal kind of snowballing solo carry build in most cases, where, yes, you can do more damage and carry harder with, let's say, that Assassin, Kraken Slayer, maybe Bork, I don't know, like IE, like full damage yeah. class cannon mm-hmm. Viego. Yes, you can hard carry. Yes, you can pop off. But I don't think that's generally the goal, if you know, for professional play. Like, there's a reason we don't very often see, you know, those full damage glass cannon carry junglers that metas tend to shift towards more reliable picks like Wukong, where it's rare that Wukong actually 1v5s a game. But are you going to be effective if you're 2-0? Yeah. Are you going to be effective if you're 0-2? Yeah, you still are. Mm-hmm. And I think that most professional teams value that consistency a lot more because, you know, the likelihood that you solo kill their jungler like twice in his jungle and then mid lane makes a bad roam to make up for it and you kill him too is just a lot less. And then again, you know, being down a little bit on Wukong versus... Oh, I went Kraken, Bork, Viego, but the enemy jungler has three items and I just can't even kill him. Mm-hmm. I'm completely yeah. useless. I don't have, you know, reliable hard CC. I can't really do utility. I can't really peel. My damage is low. Like, I don't know. There's definitely a big disconnect there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Good luck, Milkman. Keep it up.
All right, final email from Wild, aka Thane. Nick, I see why you read why you had me read the last one is because this buddy. One's very long. You're sneaky. It's wild that I wrote that into the script for myself.
Mm-hmm, yeah, it's wild that you wrote that into the script.
Yeah. So without further ado, this is a email from Thane. Hey gents, long time no see. Thought I'd reach out with a response to the round table and a fun story. Behemoth email ahead. I apologize for nothing. First things first, chain dad stuff. Thresh mechanics for dummies. Level 1. Your lantern can collect your souls, whether it's throwing it into the pit for the souls of an objective, you get 2 every time, or chucking it onto your jungler's face when he does his camps. You normally get about 4 souls per camp. Knowing where the windows where you can grab a few more souls for free can play a huge role in accelerating your passive scaling. Level 2. You can hide the direction that your hook is going to be thrown in. Normally your character will do a slight lean and he will face the direction the hook is going to go. If you input a move command backwards before pressing Q, where you want the hook to go, the windup will happen while you're facing the direction you moved. Then the hook will fly out of the back of your character model in the proper direction you aimed it. There's a huge ceiling to the tricks you can do with this, but it's already a great advantage to make enemies consider the hook flying in any direction from whenever they see you winding up to throw it. Level 3, buffering your hook. You can buffer your hook on CC, just like a Trist W or an Ezreal E. If you can get the cast started before you're stunned, it will finish the cast and throw the hook, all while you're stunned or knocked up, whatever. This is super useful in general, but especially in a 2v2 lane, since if you land the buffered hook, it either ensures that both you and the enemy supports are stunned together, or you can hook the enemy carry and have them locked down even though you're stunned yourself. Bonus tip, this works with Hourglass 2 if you buffer the hook before going golden. That one definitely I can say I've done a ton where it's like, you know the Nautilus hook is going to hit you, so you just throw yours so you both hook each other.
Yeah.
Very, very common. Level 4, flay while following Q2. You can flay mid-travel while you're following your hook, and it does weird things to the hitbox where it stretches and seems to hit in more than one place. The animation will not line up with the actual area that gets flayed, and it hides the proper location in a way that's very difficult to dodge. This is especially helpful in teamfights since there can be a lot of targets to focus on coming from multiple different directions. Bonus tips for using hooks, using hook for mobility. Normally if you hook a minion and it dies from the damage, you can't reactivate Q to get pulled to it. If you time your Q2 with the frame the hook impacts, you'll get pulled to the place that minion died even if your hook isn't attached to anything. Did not know that. Hope that was a fun
chat.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I'm sure Nick knew all these things already.
What is that supposed to mean?
I don't know, that you're a giga brain support player, so you know
okay.
Everything.
I don't play Thresh, though. I should. That character's good.
He's so fun. I've played a good amount of Thresh. I didn't know you could insta reproc to jump to something you kill.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
The timing probably has to be really precise. And I guess
Do you think there are some things that, like, obviously there are some like tricks that you can do at low ping. Are there some tricks that you could do only at high ping, you think?
No, I don't think so.
Like,
no.
I don't know. If you were high enough ping, you couldn't do the Alistair combo, right? Like, you couldn't input it enough. But,
yeah, but what?
I don't know. I'm just thinking, okay? I'm thinking outside the box. That's the difference between me and you, Aiden. Okay?
The closest thing you could have is like, okay, in theory, if you like, it takes you a second to delay, you could get your mouse to somewhere else on the screen quick enough, but then your second input is still delayed. So you'd only have to have delay for your first input to ever be a scenario, right?
Well, I was thinking, go ahead.
Nick, if you had a lag switch, right, and you were able, you had a fucking your foot going on your lag switch, right, and you could lag switch yourself up to like 300 ping, and then drop your first GP barrel, and then lag switch yourself back down to 0 ping, and then drop your second, it'd probably be easier to 2 barrel combo a GP.
Yeah, I mean, yes, but I was thinking like in his example, right. The minion dies and you can still Q2 to it. So I was wondering, if the minion is still alive on his screen because it hasn't died yet because his ping is high, like, if that was something that, like, an example of that, you know? Like, the minion hasn't died on his computer, on his client.
Yeah, I don't think that's how
it works,
though.
I don't know. I was just curious.
I don't want to be too confident because I don't actually know, but I'm like 99% sure, right? Like, your ping is just how long it takes for commands you send to like reach the server and like the actual live environment of the game and for that response to get sent back to you. Mm-hmm. So even if it's still live on your screen, if you do that, like, it's not going to work. I don't think there's anything you can do with more ping that you can't do with less. And I think
it's just a thought.
Even I think even with low ping, that it's not that it necessarily makes things possible, It's just that it lets you like visually confirm things. Like you can Alistar combo at any ping if you just hit W and Q like at the correct timing. Now your W is not actually going to apply until, let's say, like half a second later, but like the W and Q command, the time between them doesn't change.
I just meant like a very, very like high, just as an extreme example.
Yeah, you are very, very high, aren't
Thank
you?
Thank you.
Lastly, story update. Someone's cursor's, oh, there we go. I reached out to you guys about 2 years ago when my girlfriend was first trying League. You had some amazing insight on how to make things more approachable for her and keep things fun. Long story short, it worked. League is now a central part of our recreation time together, and gaming together has blossomed into a considerable part of our relationship. She's grown into a quite confident AD carry main, and I've watched her tear it up on everyone from Aphelios to Draven. Nyla is her current project, and she's been loving the champion so far. She talks more trash with my boys than I do, hangs out with them late playing other games or chatting after I'm in bed. And we just met a bunch of them IRL a few weeks ago when they all took road trips to come celebrate her birthday together. We finally have a genuine shared friend group for the first time in over half a decade of being together. Even better, having her intimately involved with the group has been a catalyst for everyone else's girlfriends diving in. Two more besides her are now involved with the friend circle, trying PC gaming for the first time, and beginning to share this hobby in their relationship as well. Thanks again for all you do to foster positive and constructive community, because you're right. At the end of the day, if you aren't making this game your career, it's a game. It's about having fun, spending time with people you care about, and making memories together. Everything else aside from that is secondary. P.S. I passed 750,000 mastery on Thresh recently. Road to 1 million will be a long one, but I might get there this year.
That's awesome.
Nick, how much money do you make playing League, you fucking loser? You're master and you make no money playing League, you fucking little bitch.
I'll have you know I work in a paper mill and I make bank.
Colton, I don't think you were there, but we've run into him.
I wasn't in the game.
But we've run into him more than once.
After?
Yeah, more than once. Like, we ran into him this past weekend, and every time I see him, I ask him, how's the paper doing today? And he never replies to me, so I'm wondering.
How's the quality of the paper today, sir?
Yeah, how's the paper today? Day. Yeah, it's really funny, because the first time I asked him that, he said, the Starburst wrappers are really good today. And that's the only time he's responded. Every other time, nothing. Very cool.
You should find him IRL.
Okay.
Dunder
Thank
Mifflin.
You guys. Yeah, we called him Michael Scott the first time he said that.
He got mad. He's like, no, funny. he was a salesman.
Yeah. Awesome. Glad to hear that, Wild Thane. That's really cool. What a great story. I hope she continues to tear it up on Nyla. That'll do it for this episode of LeeCast. If you want to send us an email, it's mail@leecastpodcast.com. Watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/KingLardOut, BlueBasket, and LeeCastFrost. Tweet at us at LeeCast on Facebook or LeeCast. Visit our website, LeeCastPodcast.com. Join our Discord server, discord.gg/LeeCast, and support us on Patreon, patreon.com/LeeCast. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.